Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Most gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, again for the opportunity to be in the house of God. And Lord, as we come boldly to the throne of grace, Lord, coming with a great expectation of you, Lord, to minister, to speak, to teach, Lord God. And we ask you to open up ears to hear what your Spirit would say unto the church, the body of Christ. Father, we thank you. We love you. Father, we praise you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Young, be seated. It's wonderful to be in the house of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles over to Colossians this evening. We're going to read some scriptures here in just a moment. You know, many times we do open up for questions, and when I come in the door, there's a little question wrote down for me back in the back side of the church. You know, Sister Celestial had a question about the age of Jesus. And I think I could probably help her a little bit. It's being a young lady, young sister in the Lord, I think I could probably help her a little bit and answer a question in a simplistic way. But it would also open up to bring some revelation and some dimensional perspectives of thought. I could remember a few years ago a little child asking, you know, and questioning their parents on Trinity or on God and different things, and it gave a beautiful opportunity to lay a real foundation and a real message for understanding the Godhead. I meet very, very few ministers that truly understand the Godhead. Some of them could say things, well, you know, I believe in God and, you know, in the Bible and you know, it says that these three are one, and they'll go into an explanation. Well, you know, you take an egg and the shell and the yolk. And I've heard them say so many things, but there's no revelation. They've heard those things spoken by other people, and they say, well, this is the way we explain it. You know, well, we say God in three persons, or we say God and, you know, there's just one God, but three persons. See, that's error. That's wrong. No Bible for that. And they have so many ways of trying to explain it, and it's so simple when you get your eyes open to the revelation of the Lord. And I remember Brother Stan in prayer. He's gone back up to Tennessee for the remainder of the week to work with a gentleman up there. Matter of fact, it was a minister that listened to one of my messages teaching on the Godhead and got very offended and very upset. And Stan was overworking, and he could see this guy just getting upset about this thing. And all of a sudden, he comes over to Stan, and he was kind of raising a voice. And, man, there's nothing wrong with this. And Brother Stan said, hey, I didn't say it. The preacher said it. But this guy, since then, has come to Jesus' name baptism. And there's a few more things he needs to come to. But he's come to Jesus' name baptism, and he sent word back to me. He said, you tell that preacher, I said, thank you, and to keep on preaching what he's preaching. You know, in Jesus' name, baptism, brothers and sisters, is elementary. It seems like when people come up to hear about Jesus' name baptism, they want to fight it. They want to contest it. And it's usually people that are religious and been in church for many years are the ones that usually do that. And there's nothing to chide about. There's nothing to get upset about. You know, it's just simply what the Word of God says. And just because your religion has taught the Word of God in error and been in Catholicism and come out from under Catholic Church, you know, I'm sorry it's that way. But, you know, we got to stay with the Bible. We should not ever be offended, brothers and sisters, according to the Scriptures. And the thing is somebody could come up to me and say, I don't believe like you believe, and I don't like the way you believe. Hey, that's all right with me, man. Believe any way you want. I like the way I believe because it's biblical and it's correct, which everybody says that. You go to any church and they're going to say, I'm biblically correct. We're preaching the full gospel. You know, we're the ones that's right. And there ain't none of them right. The only one that's right is Christ. There's only one good thing, and that's Jesus Christ. And if you try to preach any other doctrine than what he preached, then you're accursed. It's that simple. I'm not called in defense of the Baptists, the Methodists, the Pentecostals, the Church of God, the Salvation Army. It don't matter who it is. I'm not called in defense of any of those people. I'm called in defense of this word and the word of God. It's like the individual that I went to talk with, and he said, I was born a Baptist, I'll die a Baptist. Well, I'm never going to die, so you can go ahead and die like a Baptist if you want. You know, or they say that, it's like that man told me, he said, man, this is where I believed all my life, and I don't care what you say, I don't care. He said, I'm not going to change. And I said, well, what if I showed you in the Bible? He said, I don't care what the Bible says, this is the way I am. So the Bible says you proceed, there's no understanding to man. What do? You depart. Man, I didn't need to hear no more. Man, I got up and started heading for the door. And one of the brothers there that invited me over into this mess, he said, come on, Brother Rob, please, please. So I stayed for his sake. But you know, I was ready to go. I didn't need to hear no more. When a man tells you it don't matter what the Bible says, this is the way he believes, I'll tell you what, that man, and I don't have a problem telling a man like that, you are ignorant. He can get mad, he can spit in my face, he can cuss me, do whatever, but I'll tell a man like that, you is one ignorant individual. You know, and I don't mean to sound ugly, but brothers and sisters, it's the Word of God. I would like somebody in this church, if they got the boldness to stand up. Now, it depends on how I ask you this question, because I could say y'all need to stand because we have an understanding to know all things. You know, an unction from the Holy One to know all things. But, you know, who here does not have a hunger for the Word, a hunger for the truth? Who's not pressing into righteousness? We all should be. So if we come to church with an attitude we already know everything, we'll never learn nothing. If Andy hires a tile man and he comes out and says, man, I know how to lay tile, I'm the man. Man, you know, I am the man. You look in the dictionary under tile setter and it's my picture. I'm the man. See, a man that comes with that kind of an attitude cannot learn. He'll never learn. And the thing is maybe this guy has been laying tile for 10 years and maybe I've been laying it for 50 years. But I'll tell you what, if you go there and you watch, you'll pick up some little trade skills or something a little bit different. I've traveled around the country and been involved in a lot of different kind of trades. And from one end of this U.S. to the other end, there's a lot of different things. Brother Wayne Young if I had hung in my life 1% of 1% of the sheetrock that man hung, he was a sheetrock man all of his life. I wasn't, but he'd never textured a wall before. But some novice sheetrock guy from California that's not even good at sheetrock come over and took the guy and showed him something in his own trade. And he was glad to learn. You see, when I say all that for a reason, we should never be nowhere. If you've been to Bible college, if you're considered a doctor, you got a doctor's degree in theology, you shouldn't have some kind of attitude like, look at this. The Bible says from the mouth of babes and sucklings perfects the praise to God. And I'll tell you what, you could hear something spoken by a child. If you're hungering for the things of God and pressing into the Word of God, you know, you'll hear a little child speak something. You know what the Bible says about what I'm saying right now? What the Word of God says, it says that wise men will learn from fools. But it said a fool will never learn from a wise man. And I'll tell you, that's wisdom right there. A wise man can learn from a fool. But a fool never learned from a wise man. And I'll tell you, that is a soul truthful of a statement. It's the Word of God. Amen. But a brother stands over there with this individual. Remember him as he's there going to be working. Remember him in prayer that some things will start opening up over here. Brethren, when you ways please God and you press into the things of God, He'll add an increase to you, your labors and your finances and everything that you touch and everything you put your hand to will prosper. Amen. When your ways please God. Amen. Hallelujah. As I said, there was a question in Little Celestial. Wrote a question down back there for me. How old is Jesus? Now, the thing is that most people don't really understand and know. You know, some could go back on the calendar dates and say, well, we know that we've been saying 2,000 years for a long time because it's just real close to 2,000 years. And there's been some loss of calendar dates and different things. You know, the Jewish calendar numbers differently than the calendar that we happen to go by. And we got leap year involved. And there's just a lot of different things that take place and make absolute dates and calculations of things a little bit hard to go back so far back and really get an understanding of. If we were speaking, we'd have to understand the Word of God. We're going to read a little bit in Colossians in a moment. But we'd have to understand the Word of God says, you know, that Jesus made himself both Lord and Christ, both Son of Man and Son of God. Now, if we're talking about, and the Bible talks of beginning, and it said that Jesus had no beginning and has no end, and he says he was there before the beginning, and the Bible teaches that all things were created by him, then how could we put him to having a beginning that we could start numbering his days? If we're going to go back 2,000 years ago and we're going to start numbering his days and say, well, you know, Jesus is, you know, 2,005 years old or 2,000 and whatever years old. Now, to number his days of such. Now, could we do that? Well, I could stand here before you today and say that I am an eternal creature in Christ Jesus, that I am eternal, that I am living forever, that I had no beginning and no end. The Bible says, you know, speaking of we as the sons of God, the Bible said that when Jesus was crucified and gave his Holy Ghost, it was that we could have the power to be the sons of God. Now, the thing is, see, we get into a lot of things that would bring a lot of controversies. I could say to the little child that's asking the question how old Jesus is, I said, if he was still manifesting within the flesh and tabernacle, he'd come in, he was 2,000 and, you know, maybe 5 years old, 6 years old, 10 years old, whatever we would want to say. The calendar dates, I couldn't answer it even to that perspective to an exact. There might be some people that have studied the calendars well enough to do that. Many people have put their life into studying the calendars and trying to get time. They come up with dates saying this is going to be the returning of the Lord, and they put down dates and they say this, and God has allowed this thing to have that bit of a confusion to it, for people won't do that. And every time I've seen a move of people or some people that start saying this is the day, this or this is the particular year of thus and thus, it always comes to pass wrong and it doesn't work. And there's been people that sold homes. There's been people that gave their businesses away and done all these things because they were so sure that was the particular year that Jesus would return. But he's already returned, and they'll never understand that. They'll never see that. He said it in his word. It was expedient to go back to the Father, that he could send back the Holy Ghost. And if they would learn to understand that Jesus, the Holy Ghost, the Word, the Father are all one. That's what the Bible teaches. These three are one. Amen is what the Bible says. So when we start thinking of things, the only way we can understand is differentiation. Now, you see, most people think chronologically in a chronological order. If you would say, what was first? Is the book of Revelations first, or is the book of Genesis first? Well, most of you would say, well, Genesis is first. But if you read your Bible like the Japanese or maybe it's the Jewish read, they read from the, what we say, the back side of the book over towards the other side. So you say to me as an Englishman or whatever, Genesis is first. But then we look over. But forget about the way you open the book. I could say, what was first? Was Revelations, the things that took place there, did this happen first? Or did Genesis happen in the garden and the creation happen first? Well, most people would say, well, surely we know that Genesis is the first because it's the beginning, you know, in the creation. But see, that's not true. It just goes to show that you're ignorant. And I know that sounds like an offensive word. But when I speak like that, I'm numbering the whole church world just about. But we got to know that that's not true. So then the thing is that if we talk about Jesus' crucifixion, I'm creating questions in some of your minds right now. I understand that. But I'm doing that for I can answer also some questions in some of your minds. And if you could get out of a perspective, a thought of thinking that you know so much, you might learn something here tonight. Now, the thing is what is, when we think, you know, we say, well, when was Jesus crucified? Some would say, well, you know, he was 33 years old and it was approximately 2,000 years ago. And I'd say, well, that's not true whatsoever at all. But then I could say, yes, that is true. I could say it is true and I could say that's not true. Because the Bible said that he was crucified before this world ever was. That's what the Bible says. He was crucified before the foundation of the world. The Bible also says, speaking about me as a child of God or a son of God, that I was leaping for joy before this world ever was. So when was my beginning? One would say, if I asked some, say, well, I know you was born in 1958. So that was your beginning. But see, that's not my beginning. That was the beginning of what we would say the existence of that spirit. It wasn't the existence, it was the creation of what we say is this natural creation. And it was the beginning of the manifestation of my spirit in a mortal body, or the beginning of the manifestation of an eternal spirit that's invisible into an object that is visible. So then we have to start thinking about and comprehending and understanding what's invisible and what's not invisible. The Bible says dominions and powers. So if we start thinking of, you know, these invisible dominions and powers and principalities, You see, this is why you have to start learning to come to a mind of revelation. There's so much foolishness taught in churches, and they take children and they start teaching them at little young ages ignorance that they puts the wrong thoughts in their mind that they've got to travail through many years. And when they start coming to revelation and understanding, they're worn with thoughts that shouldn't even have been ever put into their little minds. Ask most children to describe Satan. They're going to draw a little thing with fork with little horns on it, and he's going to have a little pitchfork, and he's going to have a pointed tail, and this is their image of Satan, but see, that's not the image that should be drawn in a child's mind. You say, well, we got to keep things simple for children. Well, yes, we do keep things simple for children, but we don't want to teach them a lie to keep things simple. Because when we teach them a lie, then they're having a problem. Just like the other day in the service, I said, teaching your children that Santa Claus is teaching your children a lie. And then all of a sudden they're going to grow up. They're going to say, now, wait a minute. This Santa Claus you told me about is a lie? What about this Jesus you tell me about? Am I going to grow up and you're going to come and tell me that that was a lie also? Parents, we don't need to lie to our children. I don't need to Santa Claus was come in. It's Satan's claws. You understand that? That's what it has to do with. And you say, oh man, you're just going way overboard now. It's just innocent. I don't believe something that perverts children's mind is something that's innocent. And when you think that you're going to fabricate lies to your children is an innocent thing. I think we need to teach your children the word and teach them the truth. I don't think we need to have some substitute to take up time in this holiday that we should be talking about Jesus Christ and Him coming as a gift to this world to bring salvation and to bring life eternal to a lost and dying humanity. You understand? And that's a wonderful reason to celebrate this season and call it Christmas without having to get some, fat rascal coming down a chimney, you understand, and twinkling his nose or whatever he does to get down that thing. We don't need to go there. You understand? So, but people have this way because they've been politically correct. They've been indoctrinated through the schools. There was a minister somebody was telling me about the other day, and he was talking about the biggest problem in our time right now is what they call tolerance. And people are learning to tolerate this. Oh, it's okay. We have to tolerate our homosexual neighbor. We got to tolerate our lesbian neighbor. And we got to tolerate turning on the TV and having some lesbian on there and some homosexual on there. And we got to tolerate our school teachers being perverts. And we got to tolerate this. We don't have to tolerate none of it. That's why I don't teach to put your children in public school, because I don't believe that we have to put our children to be indoctrinated and educated by a bunch of perverts. And even if you've got a godly Christian woman that happens to be a school teacher and they're teaching, there's still too much other filth that's going to be pumped down your children's throats while they're in there in the school and the system of the school. And if the woman is a Christian, her hands are going to be tied of what she could do and what she could teach in the school. And there's going to be so much of their curriculum that's vomit on the tables of God that's going to be pumping down their minds. And it's going to be a tolerance. It's okay. Everybody else that believes in morals and all those things are just old fogies. This is 2005 or 7, whatever we are in, and this is 2000, and we're just going to have to tolerate all these things. I'm just not going to go there. I'm not going to tolerate it. I'm going to preach against it. The churches don't like it. They think I'm a troublemaker. The preachers think I'm a troublemaker. And the reason the preachers think I'm a troublemaker is because they're hirelings and they're sold out, and I'm kicking against their paychecks when I speak like this, and they don't like it. All this come forth from a question about how old Jesus is. Well, speaking back about that, brothers and sisters, we're going to have to learn to differentiate between body, soul, and spirit. The Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. Natural, physical, and spiritual. And if we would learn to do this between the first heaven, second heaven, and third heaven, between the translation, the transformation, the transfiguration, between justification, sanctification, and glorification. And if we could start learning to differentiate all of these dimensions, then we would learn to understand God. And we could have an understanding of the Godhead. We can have the understanding of the Trinity, which is not a biblical word whatsoever. The Bible nowhere uses that terminology. And I used to be a Trinity preacher, and I used to tell people that you must believe in the Trinity to have salvation. And I was telling them to believe in something that's not even in the Bible. And the thing is I will say this, that I preach more Trinity doctrine than any Trinity preacher that you've ever met. Are you boasting in yourself? No, I'm boasting in the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, because I've learned to understand God, not in three persons, but God in a manifestation of a body, soul, spirit, and a Father, Word, Holy Ghost. Now, the thing is when we go to talking about spirits, we know that spirits are invisible and no man has ever seen God. Now, we're going to talk about controversies of the Bible for a moment. Now, the Bible says that no man has ever seen God, but then Jesus told Philip, he said, how can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long and I and the Father are one? So now we're saying, did Philip see God? You understand what I'm saying here? Did Philip see him? The Bible even says that Moses saw the hinder parts of God, which didn't have anything to do with seeing, you know, the Lord walking in any kind of a form. It had to do with it being showing the things before Calvary. He saw the hinder parts. And when we go through Calvary, we find him face to face, is what that has to do with. But you see, is the Bible got controversies that are in error? Is the Bible full of errors because there's so many different things where the scripture will say something like that? You know, the Bible says that if you say that you have not sinned, that you're a liar and you deceive yourself. But then yet the Bible said that if you sin, you're of the devil. So am I going to teach you all that you are of the devil? I can't do that neither. So you see, we got to go line upon line, the Bible says, and precept upon precept. The Bible said that it's appointed for all men to die, and then the judgment of God. And the thing is, I stand before you and say, I cannot die because I passed from death unto life. So then am I teaching some kind of an error here in Christian Temple Church to stand before you all and defy the word of God in so many different ways? You know, the Bible said it's appointed a man to die. And it said that all men are going in that direction are going to die. And I say, I'm standing here before you and say, I can't die. You know, the Bible says that if you say that you have no sin and you're a liar and you deceive yourself, and I stand before you and say, brothers, listen to me. I'm a blood-bought, born-again child of God, and I cannot sin because his seed remaineth in me, and he sealed me in. But see, the Bible says that also. See, I say things to catch your attention because I'm saying things that I'm going totally contrary to the Bible. I'm teaching contrary to the natural dimension because I'm spiritual. But the Bible teaches natural, and it teaches spiritual, and it teaches physical. So which one am I going to teach? He said, I would like to speak to you, Paul said, as unto spirituals, but I find you still yet carnal, still yet natural. So do I speak as a man to you, or do I speak as a God to you? Do I speak naturally to you? The natural mind is the carnal mind and its enmity with God and its death. So do I speak out of the natural mind to you people? Or should I speak to you out of the mind of Christ that thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and speak to you by the word of the Spirit? And the Bible says to speak those things by the Spirit. Spiritual songs and spiritual hymns. You know, let these things continually be in you. The Bible says to walk in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to pray in the Spirit. Now, this is what the Bible teaches. So which way am I going to go? I'm going to, by the grace of God and by faith of God, I'm going to go in the Spirit and speak to you as unto spirituals. So then we find a travail now, a warfare. We find a travail and a warfare between the carnal mind, the natural man, and the mind of Christ the Spirit. And all this happening right within your own members. All this happening. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? You know, the things that I want to do, I find myself not doing. And the very things that I find myself doing are the things I don't want to do. That's what Brother Paul said. Boy, he was schizophrenic, man. If he could have just gone to the doctors today, they could have put him on medication. And they could have got him some medicine. You see? And you say, you know, I don't have a bunch of thoughts going through my mind. And I say, you're a liar. If all men's hearts are fashioned alike. And the thing is if the Bible says to cast down every vain imagination and every thought that would exalt itself before the knowledge of God, if it's telling you to cast it down, then, you know, whose thoughts are you casting down? So we got to learn to discern thoughts. We got to learn to find out what thoughts are. Where did thoughts came from? You see, there's thoughts that'll perplex your mind. There's thoughts that'll come and bombard your mind. How many of you have gone to bed before night and said, man, I'm just wore out and tired. I'd like to go to sleep. But your old mind, man, pow, 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 thoughts going. If they was your thoughts, why don't you just say, okay, I'm not thinking now. All right, shut it off. I'm thoughts done. Okay, it's time to go to bed now. Turn them off. Or how about when I'm really tired in my old flesh and just wore out. And all of a sudden there's another thought starts coming. Hey, the preacher's supposed to, you know, between the porch and the altar, you know, howling all night long. Where are you at? What kind of thoughts was it? You know, whose thoughts were those? Whose thoughts are those that are compelling you to go to the needy, to the orphans, the widows? Whose thoughts are those? You see, there's thoughts, brothers and sisters, that come. And we've got to take and learn to understand and identify the thoughts that are running through your head. Do you realize that many people that they'll be walking in the satanic influence of satanic thoughts and they're not in a travail in a warfare because sin's not imputed unless there's a knowledge of it? And then all of a sudden a preacher comes and brings you to a knowledge of what you're thinking and what you're doing is wrong, and now all of a sudden you're in a warfare. You know, if you raised up in different things in certain societies, I can remember reading some missionary writings from these missionaries. They went over into Africa and they're over there, you know, preaching the gospel. And these women are coming out in the meetings absolutely with no tops on. And you know, but that's their culture. That's the way they were. They didn't feel out of place. They didn't feel like anything was wrong. This was their culture and the way they did. But if they showed their ankles, it was absolute to them degrading or sinful or whatever you want to say. If they showed their ankles. But they walk in with no top on. You see, but it was a state of mind to them. There was nothing wrong with what they were doing, but if they saw the ankles. And then somebody else comes, you know, some American comes over there with their old knobby knees sticking out in their little short pants. And they're going like, whoa, look at that. You see, what is it? It's a state of mind. You know, and the thing is, brothers and sisters, is we find that it's all to do with an indoctrination of mind. You see, we can go into a teaching here if we wanted to, and we can go into some things that, you know, hey, all things are pure to the pure. You know, we could be like the church in Greensboro. Man, everybody comes to church naked. Hey, it's pure to us. I don't know if they're preaching against immorality. I don't know what they're doing, but they're sure ignorant to go to church with no clothes on. Especially in this day and hour. So much perversion, so much filth. It's going to be on your televisions before long. I mean, they can't strip them down no more. You know, until they just go all the way. There's so much filth on there. So many different things of perversions and sexual immoralities and things. And you wonder why your children are insensitive to those things. You let them sit in front of that kind of ungodly filth. What happened to the strength of marriage? The sanctimony of marriage. You know, the sacredness of it. You know, it's degrading. It's just, they're destroying everything. Marriage don't mean nothing. Oh, you know, you go ahead and marry her. That's what, you know, the old folks used to do. Go ahead and marry them. But if you don't like them, just divorce them. Just go ahead and get you another one. I think going, you know, you can go get you a wife like going shopping for cars. You know, hey, going over here. You know, you can go a red car, a yellow car. Would you like a white car? Would you like a blonde, a brunette? You know, what do you want, a redhead? You know, it's not that way. It's just foolishness and ignorance of everything being taken away. Now, if we're going to speak about dimensions and try to help understand a little bit of some things, I know I opened up a lot of questions here. But if we stay with the Word and the Bible, we're going to find that I could speak to an individual that's a Trinity, and I could say, yay and amen, you're 100%. Well, I can't say 100% most of the time, but I could say, you're right. And I can come to an agreement with them because I understand the manifestation of God. But then yet, where the little loopholes come in and the errors of those things is in some of the interpretations and the indoctrinations that they teach. And some of the little ways of explaining the Godhead that they do. Now, I know I'm speaking a little bit about Godhead. But the thing is if we were going to understand that Jesus, if we're going to understand a date or an age of him, if we're going to comprehend that there is an age, we're going to have to comprehend that there is an eternal spirit that's dwelling in him, had no beginning and no end. The Bible says no father nor mother. But then yet he was birthed through Mother Mary. And some would say the mother of God. But where did that come from? Do you have any Bible for God having a mother? Do you believe that Mary's the mother of God? I don't believe that. I don't believe that for one second. I believe that Mary had to come to Jesus Christ for her salvation, that Jesus Christ was her God and Savior, and that she had to come and accept him for salvation. Doesn't the Bible teach that that was his mother? Well, then what are you going to say? Did the Father have this relationship with her? You know, if we have God the Father and God the Son, then evidently if we have God the Father and God the Son, then the Father had to be the Father to the Son. So it must have been the Father in relationship with Mary to bring forth Jesus. The Bible does teach something a little bit down that line, doesn't it? But the Bible says that it was the Holy Ghost that she conceived by. But the Holy Ghost didn't come, brothers and sisters, until after Jesus was crucified on the cross of Calvary. So how could the Holy Ghost be the Father of Jesus? Because it said it was the Holy Ghost. So I'd have to say that the Holy Ghost was the Father of Jesus. I've got Bible for that now. So what are you going to believe? You see, sometimes we just tear out your little props because you really don't understand. You see, we have to have the revelation of the Lord to understand these things, brothers and sisters. And it's not hard to understand. I'm not trying to throw a bunch of confusion here. I'm not confused whatsoever. But I'm just saying that, you know, when you think you understand something, I could take and say and show you in the Word of God and tear your props out a little bit. And if you would come to an understanding that you understand nothing, according to the Word, it says when you think you understand something or know something, you know nothing whatsoever. And if you would come to that revelation, you could say, God, I need your help. Pray then that you would grant unto me the spirit of revelation, for I can get some understanding. And I could grow in the grace and knowledge of God. And I could comprehend and understand the heights and the depths and the widths and lengths of God's Word. And the only way you'll do that is through the mind of revelation. So, it's like I said, you know, before I come to the revelation of the Lord, you know, it's like, well, if I'm praying to the Father, I was taught and learned that the only way that I could get my prayers answered was Jesus was the mediator, and that's the truth. That's Bible, and then if I could only pray in His name, there's no other name given among men which our sins could be remitted. And the thing is I found out that Jesus is the one that gapped this big bridge between the spirit world and the world of natural of man. Jesus is the mediator between God and man. So he's the only one that can pull these things together and bring these two together. So then we find that Jesus came and was birthed into a manger, we say, a couple thousand years ago. And here he was in his beginning. But then yet the Bible said that Jesus created all things that were created. So now what are you going to do with him having a beginning 2,000 years ago when he says he had no beginning? And then if God cannot die, then how come you say that God died on the cross of Calvary? How many of you in here believe that God died on the cross of Calvary? Who was Jesus? He was the Son of Man. Who is Christ, the Son of God? So you see, there are some things in Revelation that would blow your mind if you would really understand the plan of God. You would really blow your mind if you'd really start understanding some things about what God really did for you at the cross of Calvary. And what really took place with this Son of Man. If he made himself twain, both Lord and both Christ, both Son of Man and both Son of God, did God die on the cross of Calvary? No, God cannot die. But the Son of Man died on the cross of Calvary. But he suffered him not to see corruption like any other man, because he was not birthed from the loins of man, but it was a birthing in the Spirit, and it came in the Spirit manifesting within the mortal body of Jesus Christ, and then it came forth as a different. Could you explain why the disciples that walked with him and knew him, that he come walked along them on the Sea of Galilee, and they said that their heart burned within them? They didn't even recognize him and know it was him. He sits down in there by Philip in the upper room, and then he says, you know, then he has to show his nail prints and his hands. You see, brothers and sisters, we have to understand, why are those things being said? Why is it like that? Why does the Bible teach of God appearing in another form? You see, what God are you worshiping? I remember ministering a message a few months back, and I don't know what they titled that, but if I was going to title it, it would have been The Unknown God. And there's so many people that are worshiping their own God. You know, very seldom people that profess Christianity know Jesus. And very few of them that say they know him, he knows them. Because he says to them, he said, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity, depart from me. There's another controversy. I've brought it out here many times. How could this all-knowing God, omniscient God, he knows everything. The Bible said he knows the number of hairs on your head. And how can he say he never knew me? You say it's another knowing altogether. It's a relationship. It's a relationship of the knowing. It's just as the Bible teaches. Joseph did not know Mary until after Jesus was born. Had never had a relationship. And there's many people that don't understand that without a child being born, there's no inheritance. The Old Testament taught that. And until the child's born, you could talk about Jesus. You could say you know Jesus. You could say he's your Savior. He's your salvation. You could say all those things. But the woman does not have any inheritance until she brings forth a child. And until you, that you call yourself a Christian, until you birth and bring forth Jesus Christ alive in this present day and hour, you have no inheritance. And this is the differentiation between you as the bride and the Son of God. That's the differentiation. There's a differentiation in you being the bride of Christ and a Son of God. There's a differentiation between Jesus Christ being God, between the Jesus and the Christ and the Son of God and the Son of Man. There is a differentiation there. And you have to learn to understand that, or this Word of God, the only way this Word of God would be is that you just blind yourself. Or God protects your mind by you not seeing the controversies in this Word. You say, do you believe that the Bible has controversies in it and contradicts itself? Oh, amen, I do. The Bible says that the natural things are contrary to the spiritual things. The Bible talks about natural things, that means they're contrary to the spiritual things. It doesn't mean that the Bible's in disagreement. But you see, in one dimension, it is in disagreement with another dimension. If I standing here before you as a man and say that I'm God, I'm blaspheming against God. And I'll find myself in hell. But I stand before you all the time and say that I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. And I teach you that now that ye are gods. The Pharisees wanted to crucify Jesus for that. There's been some ministers that come to the revelation of that and started even teaching it on television, and the rest of the ministry came against him so hard and so strong that he had to change the way he was teaching. Started teaching that you are gods. When Jesus asked him, he said, for what good works have I done that you want to stone me? They said, not for the good works that you have done, because you're a mere man making yourself to be God. This is why the ministry and all of the churches of American stuff will come against the teaching that I teach, is because I'm a mere man making myself to be God. The same thing Jesus done. But you see, it's exactly that way. They don't want to hear that. But what was Jesus' reply? He said, but isn't it also written that ye are gods? And the Bible says that they die like men from a lack of understanding. So that means that when a man dies, it's because of a lack of understanding of who he is in Christ. And if your father, being a natural man, birthed you into this world as a son, a natural son, then if you have a spiritual father, which we cry, Abba, Father, and it is our heavenly Father, and we're birthed into his kingdom, and we are born again, then what are you birthed into? You're birthed into the Spirit. What are you birthed as a man? See, it's not hard to understand that. You were born as a man, and it's appointed unto man once to die. And when you're born again, the reason there's a necessity to be born again, because you got to be born eternally into the Godhead. And when you're born into the Spirit and into the Godhead, you're born as a God. The Bible says, now ye are the sons of God. So what would we think a son of God would be get a man for? It's not a man. This is why Jesus was called Son of Man, because he was birthed through a woman, a natural woman, and called the Son of Man. But there was the eternal Spirit of God dwelling within him that had no beginning and no end. So this is where we differentiate and understand and comprehend that. That's not hard to understand. So we have an eternal God that's invisible, that no man has ever seen, and comes and dwells. The Bible said that he dwelled in the fullness in Jesus. In the fullness. The fullness of the Godhead dwelled within Jesus Christ. He wasn't a third God. He wasn't part of God. He was God. Jesus was God, brothers and sisters. The Bible says Emmanuel, God with us. You know, some say, oh no, he was the Son of God. No, he was God. There's no other way to look at it. Jesus Christ as God. He is the one who created all things. The Bible said that there was nothing created. Nothing invisible, nothing visible, no thrones, no dominions, no nothing was created outside of him. Jesus Christ is all things, brothers and sisters. There ain't nothing else. There's no Buddhas. There's no other anything else. There's no whatever them fat belly guys, you rub their belly, put a candle in their ear. I don't care. It's Jesus. He's the only thing that's going to bring you life. He is the Prince of Life. Amen. There is no other way except him. So you know, the thing is that when you start getting into three gods, you're foolish. It's not going to work. You know, but you could say, oh, I don't believe in three gods. I believe in God and, you know, I just believe in one God and I just believe that God's three persons. Well, see, you're just talking ignorant. And when you speak like that, you're showing your ignorance for this reason. Because a person has to do with the word, it comes from the word personification. That's what a person is. So now, if you take a personification of a spirit and it comes and personifies itself and we say a person. Now, if I'm going to personify the Father, and I'm going to personify the Son, and I'm going to personify the Holy Ghost, I got three persons. I don't care what you say. I learned how to add. That's one, two, three. Amen? Now, but the Bible teaches Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, and it says these three are one. So either the Bible could take three and make them into one, or I don't know how to add, or either they don't understand. And it has to do with understanding. I am a body, soul, and spirit. I'm one person. The Bible says that if you would take the spirit out of my body, that the body would be dead. Isn't that what the Bible says? Okay, now the thing is to be absent from this body, to be present with the Lord. Now the thing is that if this spirit leaves this body, that body's dead. Now you can say, oh yeah, there's old brother Rob right there. Well, if that was old brother Rob, he'd get up if my spirit was gone, wouldn't he? No, that ain't Brother Rob. That was the shell or the fleshly part that the spirit that came and dwelled in and manifested in, spoke through, preached, probably made you mad in and all that stuff, but it wasn't, you can't blame it to the flesh. It was the spirit that was motivating it. Now, when you go to the scriptures where it talks about that they're not going to be held accountable to the deeds of the flesh, there ain't going to be a man. See, Jesus already died and took all that and done away with it. But it's the saving of the soul, and the soul is the one that's the differentiation of bringing these two different spiritual powers of light and darkness that are coming through the soul for the illumination to utilization of that body. And this is why it's necessary to have the soul saved. You see, we're not trying to save man. You see, it's the saving of the soul. So, there again, we're differentiating. So if I've got a body, soul, and spirit, you know, when my wife comes through the door, she says, you know, hey, Rob number one, how are you doing? You know, and let me rub him a little bit and make him feel a little bit better. Hey, Rob number two, you know, and let me talk to him a minute. And hey, Rob number three. See, it don't work that way. How many of your wives come in and do that kind of stuff? Then why do you do that to God? You see, you're going to have to come to the revelation that there's one God. The Jews are right about the one God. The Catholic Church is the one that brought in this three God foolishness. It's Catholicism. It's the Catholic Church. You know, we say that we're Protestant because we protested against the Catholic Church. What did they protest against? Do you all know what they protested against? It wasn't the three God issue that they protested against. That's not what the Protestant Church protested against. They were protesting about faith because Catholicism taught and they were teaching works for salvation. They had a lot of works and things of symbolisms and a lot of things that they did to bring salvation. The thing is Luther come in and he protested against their teaching and brought faith, that we are saved by faith. That was what was protested. So when you number yourself as a Protestant, you've come to a revelation of faith that you've come to faith. And this is where you found salvation. But see, we don't stop there, and God didn't stop there. We're still progressing in the revelation and the knowledge of God. And there's saints that we've come to that have been protested even since that time through the churches, that the churches put many great men of God out. Do you realize that when the healing ministries came back on the forefront in the 40s, that the churches wouldn't accept it and have anything to do with the ministers that had received the understanding and the revelation that God is a healing God, had to go out and get, this is where the tent meetings came, is because the church put them out. The church wouldn't accept it. And there's still churches in this day and hour that don't believe in healing. And they still don't accept it. But out of that tent meetings and all those things, there's these churches that built up that believe in it. And that's why you have churches and things now, and that you see the manifestations and things of healing in, because they believe in that. But there's been many things, even to the fact of speaking in tongues, when we say the Azusa Street, outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we could, you know, we could say that what took place there, I believe, is because they're supposed to be having a big 100-year deal out there on Azusa Street. And they're going to get a bunch of them together and go out there and have a great meeting. It was great things that took place on Azusa Street in 1906. But you see, the churches didn't accept that. The things I'm speaking to you tonight was a big separation between Trinity and Oneness churches in the 40s. Brother Branham was a great man of God, and a lot of the big Trinity ministers that are recognized even to this day came out from under him. But they separated because of the doctrine of Trinity. Many of them, if you want to talk about Oral Roberts, came out from under that. And Bob, you know many of them. There was Brother Kenneth Hagin came out from under that. There was many great men of God that had great testimonies of ministries that came out from under that. So what am I doing? Am I teaching Brother William Branham or Brother Pike or whatever? No, I'm preaching Christ. I'm teaching the Word of God. And the thing is there's been many great men of God that's been rejected because of the revelation of God's word. So what we have to do is we're going to have to come to a revelation in our mind, brothers and sisters, and come to an understanding that we need to let this word of God be alive, and we need to start going to the scriptures and to the word. We need to start differentiating in these things and get out of a mindset that limits us to what is being taught in this country. Because the religion in America is not working no longer. Do you realize that this America is about ready to get smitten and wiped off the map? Because God is angry with America? Because it's religious. And you think, well, I just can't believe that. Well, let's go talk about the elect of God being the Jews and the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin is right there in Jerusalem, the holy city. And the Bible talks about Jerusalem becoming spiritual Sodom. That's what the Bible says. Oh, the most holy city of all. And it says become spiritual Sodom. It was the most wicked place I'd ever been in all my life when I walked through Jerusalem. There's more demonic spirits in the city of Jerusalem probably than anywhere in the world. There's more religious spirits in the city's busted up between the Muslims and between the Christians and between the Jews. They got it split up three ways. And it's a wretched place. But boy, you know, everybody looks, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. But see, God was angry with Jerusalem. Because they denied the Messiah when he came and walked. They rejected him. And America has rejected Jesus Christ in this day and hour. The religions of America have rejected him. If you reject his word, you're rejecting him. He is word. He is spirit. And when you reject this Bible and reject what this Bible teaches and says, and you make changes and alter for some modern day religion, then you've rejected God. You can say whatever you want. You can say, well, I talk to Jesus. I pray to Jesus. I do all these things. But you reject his word. Then you've rejected him. And he's departed. Incubated and put over the door of the heart. Means that the Spirit of God no longer dwells there. Brothers and sisters, his spirit is life. Amen. You should have the spirit of him, his life emanating and flowing through you. There should be a zeal and a joy and a love of God in your heart. And get out of your religious realms. You see, there's an old religious devil that will try to block you from this and keep you from coming. Because once you get it, man, you are eternal and one with God. The Bible says bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. That's what the Bible says. Do you believe the Bible? I believe the Bible. I'm not afraid to speak what the Word of God says, but the people don't like it. I made a statement, if I'm a man and I stand behind this sacred desk and say that I'm a God, I'm blaspheming. But the Bible said it's no longer the minister speaking, but God speaking. So what do? We differentiate. We differentiate between the spirit manifesting in the mortal genes. We differentiate between, this isn't the man speaking, it's God speaking through the man. You see, if I point at a man that's a drunk and I say, brother, you're on your way to hell. Did I judge him and put him in hell? Or was it the word of God that judged him and put him in hell? Because the Bible said no drunkard will inherit the kingdom of God. So you see, we speak the word and his word is true. So then we differentiate between the man and between God. We have to do that with Jesus, both Lord and Christ. We have to do it with Brother Rob. You understand? Both son of man and both son of God. You have to do that with yourself, both son of man, both son of God. Now the thing is, when we get into differentiation, as I said a moment ago, and I've said this to people, and even a great man of God that I speak highly of, you know, talks about the bride, the bride, the bride, the bride. Brother Pike talked about the sons of God, the sons of God, the sons of God. And the thing is they're both right. But the thing is the bride had to come to understand who she was to bring forth the sons of God. And as I've said so many times with the quote of Brother Branham, what he said, you know, when the bride recognizes who she is, that'll be the rapture. Well, it's already happened. You see, if you're going to think we're talking about God, one God, the Bible says one God, one faith, and one baptism. One baptism, but I teach three. Why? The Bible says there's one, but I teach three. Water, blood, and spirit baptism. The Bible teaches water, blood, and spirit baptism. But the Bible says one faith, one God, one baptism, one God, Father, Word, Holy Ghost, one baptism, fire, water, blood. You see? So what are we doing? We have to differentiate it. Body, soul, spirit, natural, physical, spiritual. If you would get into a dimensional mindset, you won't even look into the scriptures without differentiating. The Bible does it all the way through. All the way through. If you want to go to Egypt, has to do with bondage in the natural life of man. You go into the wilderness, has to do with the soul realm, has to do with that wilderness wandering in the soul realm. And then you go into Canaan, has to do with the spiritual realms. You see, the Bible takes it differentiates in the Old Testament, showing a 1, 2, 3. All the way through, brothers and sisters, we've got to learn to differentiate and understand and comprehend. The Bible says light being formed in darkness. You got to know that in your first birth it's darkness and the light is Christ, the understanding and revelation of the Lord coming within you and the light shining forth within the darkness of your first birth. The light of the understanding of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ coming forth from a man. But it's uttered from the Spirit, from the heavenlies. You see, differentiation. And this is what people do is when you speak things by the Spirit, speaking those things that are not as if they were, speaking faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and you start speaking that, people draw up. And they shouldn't do that. There shouldn't be a resistance in your heart and in your spirit against revelational teaching, against the mind of Christ and the things of the Spirit. You should say, wow, man, that's awesome. You mean Jesus really done that for me? Jesus really gave me everything that pertains unto life. Jesus really made me eternal, that I'm living forever and I cannot die, that I've passed from death unto life. Jesus really conquered all things. He made us even more than conquerors. Jesus really gathered his Spirit unto us and gave us that Spirit that cries, Abba, Father. Jesus really done all that for me. Man, you should rejoice. Hallelujah. Praise God. Look what Jesus done for me. Did your Jesus not do anything for you when he died on the cross of Calvary and said it's finished? Are you thinking he's going to come back and die for you again? Are you thinking he's going to be beaten and spit upon and beaten again? He said it's finished, it's done, it's completed. He's given us everything that pertains unto life. Hallelujah, it's something to rejoice about. It's something to be excited about, that we've got everything. You think that when you have sickness in your body that he's got to go and get beaten again for his stripes, that you could receive healing? No, it's finished and it's taken care of. And you need to believe that and you need to speak that and you need to rejoice in that. Amen? Your salvation was taken care of. He put your name down in the book of life before the world ever was. So don't be doubting and questioning if you're a child of God. If you're doing that, you're questioning Him. You're questioning His existence. You're questioning that He even came. I don't question that. I believe what He says. It's settled in my mind. It's settled in my heart. I believe His word is true. I believe His word is right. I don't sit and reason against His word. It's the absolute. Amen? The 100% absolute. And when I was speaking controversies, it's not controversial to me because I understand when He speaks to one as a man, that how He speaks to a man. And when I know when He speaks to a God, how He speaks to a God. Amen. I am the elect of God. Amen. Through the election of Christ. Amen. And for what He's done. I'm eternal. I'm living forever. I've passed from death and life. This is the way we speak as the sons of God. But as a man, oh wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? You know, oh man, my heart is continually evil and divisive. And a man doesn't even know his own heart. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? It's appointed unto me once to die, and then the judgment of God. God despises my image. God can't stand the looks of me. He was so sick that He made man that He repented. Amen. You see now? Do you want to come to church and me talk like that? You know, do you want me to lift you up as a man? The only way I could lift you up as a man is by lifting you up to the cross of Calvary, that you could be smitten and crucified all the day long. You see, if you come to church and want to be recognized in your flesh and the admiration goes to you, oh, the great and mighty one, the great man, that isn't going to happen. Jesus Christ is that one. He's the preeminent one, the only one. He's the only thing to give contribute to Him solely and Him alone. And we would learn to do that. We got to become one with Him. And then we become benefactors with Him. You understand that? We become benefactors in the perspective of that. What's the Bible say? That we become joint heirs with Him. We become one with Him. We receive everything that He's got. You're not going to get that any other way. Eternal life wasn't set for you. It was set for Him, and you be part of Him is the only way you'll have it. By being part of Him. Okay, I'm going to read some scripture. Let me just go right here to verse 9. Colossians chapter 1. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meant to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness," differentiation between the light and darkness there, "and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." If you would understand what translated is, it has to do with rapture. This is why I say the rapture's already taken place, because we've been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God according to the scriptures. Now, when I teach rapture, I got to teach rapture 1, 2, 3. Body, soul, spirit, Father, Word, Holy Ghost, natural, physical, spiritual. So when you're looking for a rapture to come, there is going to be a rapturing, catching up of that mortal body that's changed in the moment, twinkling eye. It's going to be changed, the Bible says. And that's what people are looking and longing for. But let me tell you, if you ain't raptured into the marvelous kingdom of God, you'll never see that rapture to that body. Ever, never. This is why I speak to you as unto spiritual, say we've already been caught away into heavenly places. We've already been raptured away, brothers and sisters. So the thing is there is going to be a collective change, a bodily redemption, we could say, which is the purchased possession according to the scriptures. And that's going to happen, but that's not for you and I. That is, the Bible said, it's the world that's yearning and longing and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. I'm not of this world. I've been translated in the marvelous kingdom of God. I'm from heaven. You understand? That's why the Bible said you're ambassadors. How many of you know what an ambassador is? An ambassador of America, if I send him over to Iraq, he's an ambassador of America. That means he's not from Iraq, he's from America. And when I'm an ambassador for Christ, it means I'm not of this world, I'm not from this world, that I am a heavenly creature, hallelujah, translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, amen. And I've come back to dwell among men and condescend to men of a less estate to bring good news and glad tidings of Jesus Christ, amen. and you think, man, I just don't see that. I know, that's why I'm trying to pray that you would get eyes to see and to comprehend and understand that. Why? For we could worship you, Brother Rob. Well, come try it. Amen. I've been a pretty good natured guy, but come try to worship Brother Rob, and you're going to find one angry individual. You don't need to worship Brother Rob. You know, I'm just an old ignorant individual, probably more ignorant than you ever thought you was. If you listen to me talk, you'll hear nothing but ignorance is from the man, but I'm talking about the marvelous things of the kingdom of God dwelling in me, and I yield this member over to the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, and the understanding of God, and I let him speak. Amen. Because I don't know nothing and claim to know nothing. And I claim to be the least of any of you, for I could come to the revelation of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Verse 13 says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Okay, now we're differentiating between Jesus and the Father, the image of the invisible God. Amen. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in faith, grounded and settled, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake. Did you hear what he said? Are y'all listening? Now listen to what he said right here. Verse 24. It says, who now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. That's an awesome revelation. If you just ask God to help you with it. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation, has to do with time of God. Again, verse 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery, mystery is a secret, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in who? Christ in you. That's the revelation of the Lord, brothers and sisters. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Oh, we could present every man perfect in Christ? How many have heard it from a pulpit in a church that nobody's perfect? How many, if I ask you to raise your hand, that have ever heard that from a pulpit in a church somewhere, and where they said, oh, you know, nobody's perfect, you know, we're all men, we're all going to dust, thus and us. Man, that's ignorant teaching. Because that ain't Bible. Bible don't teach us that whatsoever at all. Be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, the Bible says. The Bible teaches us the fivefold ministry sent for perfecting of the saints, that they could be made perfect, amen, by the blood of Jesus Christ. He made you perfect in the spirit, but you got to bring that into a manifestation in your deeds, in your mortal genes, in the visible. You're perfect in the invisible world, man, but in the visible world, you need to bring perfection. And you could do it by pressing into the mark of the high calling. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Hallelujah. Without his working in you, you ain't got a chance. Amen. We're dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. We're serving an awesome God. I wished I had time tonight to really go into some revelation. You know, sometimes we have to be very careful of what's spoken and what's said. There was a couple times tonight that there was a drawing and a hunger for some real depth and meat of God's word. But sometimes because of people that haven't really come to differentiation and dimensional understanding, that it would offend them to really get into the revelation of God's word, to really get into the mysteries of God's word, and to get in really what he has done for you and who you are in him. I'll tell you, there's some beautiful things. The word is so awesome and so real and so alive. That's why I don't get tired and I don't get weary. And things, when you get into the word, there's a spirit of life in it. There is a spirit of life that starts just coming forth in a hunger and things, you know, for it. I never fell asleep, man, at the sushi bar. Because, you know, man, praise God, that stuff's good. You know what I'm saying? Man, give me another one. Now, when I get filled up, sometimes you'll fall off to sleep. Brother Pike used to say, he goes, well, sometimes the little ones will fall off. You know, they just like the mom, the little child pulling on the mama's breast. You know, it gets so much and it's full and it goes to sleep. You know, but, you know, there's a spiritual appetite in my heart and things. And you go into the things of the God's word and there's just a longing and a desire, you know, and an excitement for his word. Amen. It's a wonderful thing. Let's stand together. I appreciate you giving me the time that you've given me this evening to maybe say a few things. Hope maybe I said something to challenge you in your thoughts and your mind and your heart. Hope I challenged you enough to really give you a desire to start pushing and pressing into God's word, that you could desire more and more of his word. Amen. There's a thing that lays within the human mind, all men's hearts fashioned alike. I've seen little youngins, man, come to God. They just find out about Jesus, and they go to church for maybe a year. You know, and boy, all of a sudden, they're the absolute. Boy, they've got the authority, and they've got the revelation. You know, we send our natural children to school for 12 years. You know, to get what we could say, okay, now you've gone to school, you know, these 12 years, and now you can go be a man. Now you can go get you a job. Now you can do this. You know, but some little novice, you know, they get the, you know, they go to church for a month and sometimes a 2 years or whatever, man, praise God, I'm the man, send me out in the ministry, this and that. Boy, and I know. And they just ain't got their eyes opened yet. They just haven't got their eyes opened up. You know, and some say, well, wasn't that way with Brother Paul? You know, man, he went immediately right out. But you talk about a man that had been groomed and he'd been a very religious man. And he'd been, you know, in the synagogues more than any, according to his testimony. You know, this was a man that was indoctrinated in the Word of God for years and years and years, but he come to a revelation of Jesus Christ, and he went out with that revelation, but he had a foundation. This man had been in the Word of God. You say, oh, yeah, but Jesus, you know, he went out, yeah, he was 30 years old, and he was God. Amen. So there's things that we need to understand, brothers and sisters. While we're all standing together, we'll sing a song together before we close the service. I appreciate you coming out. Again, I hope I challenged you in thought. If I made you mad, I'm glad. Because if you're mad, I'm glad. Because you need to get mad to get that devil off of you before you can get into the mind of Christ and the spirit of revelation. Amen. And if you leave this church mad, you won't be the first one. Brother Eddie went out the door of the church over there on Fairfield. I guess it's been probably about 8 years ago, 9 years ago. I guess it's been longer than that, hasn't it? He went out, they said, I'm never going back to that place. But praise God. I think what made him mad then makes him glad today. Amen. Brother Arthur made a statement. He said, if you could be offended, you need to be offended until you could be offended no more. And the thing is, when you're in Christ, you're not offended. You can come to me and call me a devil. You can tell me I'm ignorant. You can tell me I'm unskilled, unlearned. Man, you ain't gonna get me mad. Praise God. Don't upset me. You can think whatever you want. It's like they said, I made this statement of this the other day. I heard Brother Branham say this on a tape a couple weeks back or something. But a guy come up to him, he said, you know what? He said, you don't know your Bible at all. Brother Branham said, yeah, I know. He agreed with him. He said, man, I'm learning stuff. But he goes, I do know the author. Said he does know the author. Amen. And I do know the author. And he's helping me and he's leading and guiding me into his truths, into his depths, into the heights, the widths, and the lengths of his word. And I'll tell you what, I'm in love with Jesus. I'm in a love affair with him, and I'm so thankful to him for life. I'm so thankful for him for his spirit and what he's given me. I may not have what you got. I may not have as much understanding as you or revelation as you. I may not be as good looking as you, but I'll tell you what, I like what he's given me. Amen. He's given me life. Hallelujah. It's an awesome thing to be serving God. It's an awesome thing for him to live and dwell in your life, in your heart, in your mind, in your thoughts. Yeah. If we could learn to do that and seek him first, so many things could be added unto us. Understanding could be added when we seek him first. Everything that pertains unto life, he wants to give it to you. We're serving an awesome God. Fall in love with Jesus. You want a happy marriage? Fall in love with Jesus. You want success in your business? Fall in love with Jesus. You want peace and tranquility in your house? Fall in love with Jesus. He should be on your mind more than anything. To know him, to please him, to desire him. Have you fell in love with him? Does he mean more to you than anything else? He should mean more to you than wives, children. If you can't love him more than your own children, you're not worthy of him. And he knows you not. He's a jealous God. And if you are a mother or a father and can truly learn that revelation and understand him and truly love him more than anything, then he'll give you love to give to your children. That's a greater love, a powerful love, a binding love. The love of God is the power to bind and to loose. It is the power, brothers and sisters, to unite. The power of reconciliation. The love of God. Without it, we're nothing. Without it, we have nothing. We can have all mysteries and understanding and have not the love of God, and it profit us nothing. We can give our body to be burned. We can give our money to the poor and have not the love of God, and it profit us nothing. We got to have the love of God. Fall in love with Jesus. Want to know him in a deeper and a greater way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I could close the service now. It took me till now to get an individual's heart to make a contact with God. Moves my heart. Thank you, Jesus. Brothers and sisters, the Bible says that we should enter into the house of God with thanksgiving in our heart. brothers and sisters. And if we would do that, the minister wouldn't have to travail in the spirit for so long just to get you to make a simple little contact in the spirit world. Just a simple little contact. That, just like that, a little snap of the finger contact in the spirit world could renew, regenerate, purify, cleanse, make whole. Just one little contact. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's close our eyes together. Lift your hands. Hallelujah. Lord is in this place. Just love Him for a moment. Sometimes mothers and fathers, your little children, are mischief and mischievous because they just want your attention. They want you to love them. God loves you. His hand's towards you. Just love Him. You've got His attention. You're the apple of His eye. Just love Him. Praise Him. Worship Him. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let Him love you. You know, child of God should never have to be encouraged to love Jesus and to fall in love with Him and to worship Him and to hold Him. Amen. There should be something in your spirit that is just longing and yearning for loving God and worshiping God and praising Him. Hallelujah.
We want to see Jesus.
How long's it been since you felt the loving arms of the eternal God embrace you and hold you? Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We get to a place in our walk with God that we say He's not there. You say, I don't feel Him. I can't find Him. Where's He at? He's there all the time, brother, sister. He's there all the time. Ever so often, waiting ever so patiently, brothers and sisters. He's never left you, never forsaken you. You've wandered away from His embrace and His love, His care and His protection. Many times you've wandered away from that. Sometimes He allows those things to happen to you that you learn to hold on tighter. You can find your way back by listening to that still small voice that's wooing you. Hallelujah, Jesus. God loves you. Just remember, He had you in mind when He was on the cross of Calvary.